I pledge allegiance to the drag and the united gays of America, to safety in public, from queer to trans, one nation, underdogs, not invisible, with liberty and justice for all. I deserve the right to love my life.
Welcome, Wisconsin, to yet another Thursday installment of The Maggie Dawn Show. Mothers and fathers, we're the kids that you loved and lost. We're the one nation underdogs. And if the overuse of percussion and bass and punk beats didn't give it away, that's right, Maggie's not here again, because it's Christmas time. She's on holiday. So who's here to step in? Who is this strange voice yelling at you from the void? It's me, her producer, Anya Esther. Hi. If it's your first time joining us on an episode where Maggie, despite her name being in the show, isn't here, let me give you the lowdown. I've got a topic that I'm going to try to stick to today that is banned books, specifically book bannings happening here in Wisconsin. And I want to hear from you, but we're also going to stray. We're going to go off on tangents. We're going to talk about the wide variety of topics that fall under the ideas of censorship, of free speech, of representation. Who gets to say what goes where and when and how and why? And with me, once again, Anya. I'd love to hear from you if you're wondering how can you do that. That's an excellent question. Good initiative on your part. You could call in, but again, I am usually the producer, not also the host, which means when there's two different people doing those two different roles, someone's there to like pick up the phones. I don't have that person. It's me, and I'm speaking to you right now. So, of course, I can't do that. So today, of all days, would be a fantastic day to utilize Civic Media's text line. You can do this by going to the App Store. If you're on iPhone or on the Google Play Store on Android, typing in Civic Media, downloading it, clicking text at the bottom, or texting us at the very same number that you give us a call at. And that number I definitely have memorized, and I'm not vamping, because it's 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. And only the five people watching on the live stream know that I had to wait for that number to scroll across the bottom for me to remember it. Nobody on the radio will know, because it's an audio-only medium. You know what isn't an audio-only medium is books. And I was producing Maggie's show on Monday when the topic of books came up, specifically the topic of book banning came up. And the problem with being a news producer, not that that's my title, but I produce information that is about the news. The problem is that I sometimes end up learning the news on air as I'm producing it, which is okay, because I'm not the one teaching you about it. That's usually Maggie's job, or Jim's, or some other host. That's what makes today so special, right? So on Monday, when she starts talking about the book ban, I got really, really nervous, because she put this number out there that I thought just simply couldn't possibly be right, which is she said that in the Elkhorn School District, someone submitted a list of 444 books to be banned. 444 books that they wanted banned is how I should phrase it, to be clear. And I thought, oh no, Maggie, is this dyslexia? Is this a typo? Was it meant to be 44 books or like 144? Because there's absolutely no way. I mean, who can you name 444 books? Start now. It's going to take a minute if you can. There's just no way that was the number. And yet, lo and behold, in my research leading up to this, I found it. I found the list. It is at its title. It's 444 titles. I did some counting and I took out some repeats. I think it's really about 436 in reality.
But the list is staggering. And before I get into that specific list, I want to tell you what I determined after researching this part, which is there is a shocking number of book bans. I know this probably isn't news to everybody, but let me walk you through it. There's a shocking number of book bans happening in this state, or that have happened in this state and are currently being enforced, meaning someone put forward some list like this, and whoever's in charge of such things said, oh, yep, let me just duck into the library real quick and grab all these off our shelves and chuck them in the trash, which we'll get into later. But there's also a staggering number of ones that are in progress, meaning someone like this list has been, or someone has proposed something like this list, and we're now sort of in the middle period between, are we going to remove these books or aren't we? So in this first opening bit, I want to talk to you about where in Wisconsin it's happening. When we come back after our first set of messages, I'm going to talk to you about what books they are, because it does not make sense. There is no singular standard being upheld. There is no version of a rubric you can write that excuses or understands the vastness of the books being banned here. There's no way to account for the breadth and the depth of different topics and different ways of approaching those topics other than an all-out ban on the conversation of certain kinds of people and their experiences. And in the last bit, so please do stick around, the second to last bit, I should say, the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk about one of the most important things, which is what you can do about this. And if you're rolling your eyes because every time you've ever clicked on something that says, like, what you can do to save the penguins, and it's like, give us 10 bucks. It's like, well, I don't have 10 bucks. Don't worry. I not only have options that are fun and cool and punk, as I always do. Come on, that's my thing. But I also have things that are free, like outright free. And what could be more punk than that? So we'll get into that. Stick around. Note, I said that that would be the second to last thing because I corrected myself, because the real most important thing, the real last thing we'll end with at the end of our show today is, of course, I'm going to uphold Maggie's new tradition of having the fantastic, the amazing, the indomitable Terry Barr on. And she, I believe, if I read her message right and committed it to memory, is going to tell us not one, but two stories that are local and overlooked. I guess kind of today is a very local and overlooked thing, because I'm going to get local. I got a lot of cities here. But then we're also going to talk overlooked, which is how can we contend with so many different book bans, so many books, so many places. We'll get into that. Don't worry. Take a seat. It's going to be fun. So let's answer some questions. Where are these things happening? Well, I've already told you that these things were happening in Elkhorn. But let me pull up the rest of my list instead of just sort of not having all the details in front of me. So throughout Wisconsin, and this following info comes from the Wausau Pilot and Review, slight sidetrack. Wausau Pilot and Review is currently being sued. And because I don't know what I can say as a fellow journalist, I'm going to leave it at that. But you should check into that, because that situation is not cool, in my opinion. And I'm pretty sure all those words I'm allowed to say without getting anyone, including myself, in trouble. Now it's your turn. Go do some research. Anyways, this info comes from Wausau Pilot and Review about the number of towns, cities in Wisconsin that the ACLU is stepping in to subvert, to end, to stop these various ridiculous book bans. At the top of their list, they have Menominee Falls, who's banned 33 titles. We're going to get into what those are in a second. Like I said, the Elkhorn area, a list of 444 books. But additionally, in Waukesha, right here, WAUK, where I'm programming from, there's this public list that has had to be kept about the books being banned there. Now, at the time of reporting in this article, it says 8 books. I think it's down to 4. We're going to look in a second. As well as the Howard Suamico School District, who removed 32 books. And Howard, this school district, is the most interesting. Let me explain why. So there was a public records request filed to ask about, hey, what are the books you got rid of? When did you get rid of them? And why did you say you got rid of them? And this document provides some really, really interesting insight into how these decisions are being made. Because tucked into these very, very legal pages as I'm looking for the titles of these books, are sort of the, in theory, the things that have to happen for the book to be removed. Or sorry, I should say, it has denotions here of why the book was removed. That's what I meant to say. And what's interesting is that all of these books, it just says that they were removed because of publication date and low circulation, meaning no one was checking them out. And yet I don't see books here that I would expect to be maybe a little dust covered right now, like Get Acquainted with Your MacBook One or something of that sort, or An Argument for the Earth Being the Center of the Universe. These are outdated ideas that probably don't get checked out very much, except for laughter and fun, I would presume. And yet there are books here by the names of Des Grottas, A Tale of Rwanda, What Can't Wait, Rainbow High, The Art of Racing in the Rain, Beloved. We'll talk about Beloved in the next section. I already said Almost Perfect, I believe. And just a number of other books whose topics are either about race or being queer, being gay, being lesbian, being transgender, these things. And additionally, a series of pieces of an amount of fiction here, nonfiction, that has gay characters in it or reference to gay characters. And again, some of these are some pretty recent titles. So if you really want to pull my leg and tell me that it's because of low circulation, it begs the question, well, did you have them out for checkout? Or when they got to your library and you didn't like what was in them, did you perhaps set them aside to a place where no one could check them out? We're going to talk a little bit more, if I can find my words, about where these things are happening right when we come back. I'm only going away for a minute, don't worry. When we do, we'll talk about where it's happening, what books it's happening to, and at the end, what you can do about it. The music you're hearing is One Nation Underdogs by Royal and the Serpent. See you in a minute.
And fathers. We're the kids that you love to watch. We're the one nation underdogs. We're the dreams that you all.
I didn't even know that line was in there. That was so good just coming back. Did she just say nuance is dead? Girl, same. I love that idea. Hey, welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. This is not Maggie Dawn, despite what it says on the tin. This is Anya Esther, and what you've just heard is Riot by Daisy Grenade. I love all those words, especially when they're together. And you're coming back to an episode of the Maggie Dawn Show with Anya, her producer, where I am talking about banned books, book bannings, especially happening in our public schools. The term public school is always interesting when we talk about this idea of what is public, what is accessible to the public, the idea that children are members of the public, and that when they're in those public schools, they have access to the information there within. The idea that a library is a place where you go to learn stuff that's been in theory vetted by experts, that's how it gets published. And if you're going, well, can't they just go to the internet for that? Did you not hear the part just now where I said vetted by experts? Do you have any idea how much that doesn't happen on the internet? Maybe not. Check it out sometime. It's kind of crazy out there. I said I'd wrap up talking about where these things are happening, like I said, just to go over the list again. And these are just the cities in Wisconsin that the ACLU is involved in suits, in lawsuits. They're suing these school districts on behalf of their students, saying it is actually not constitutional. You are defying these children's civil liberties, because the kids do have that, whether the children are civil or not, they do get civil liberties. they're suing. These are just the places that the ACLU is suing. These are not all the book bans in action currently happening or proposed in Wisconsin, much less the U.S. We'll talk about the number there in a second. But those six places currently being sued are Menominee Falls for 33 titles, Howard Suamico, I hope I'm saying that right, I apologize if I'm not, with 32 books, Waukesha with 8, but it seems like maybe it's down to 4 now. Call in if you know differently, 844-967-2789. Elmbrook for 7 books. And I spoke incorrectly earlier. I said Elkhorn had the paper that explained more about why these books are being placed there. I apologize. It was Elmbrook. You see how I got those two confused? We'll come back to that. And then the aforementioned Elkhorn parent requested 444 books be banned. Yes, I've read through that list. I'll talk about which of those books I've read and some other interesting corresponding notes on those. And Kenosha for 4 books. 4 books Kenosha said no to. So that's the where. Let's talk about which books and for why. Or at least what the reasons we're being told are why. My main reference for this episode, other than the fantastic research of Wausau Pilot and Review, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, many other Wisconsin sources, is the national source, PEN, P-E-N, PEN, like something you'd write with, America, PEN America, which stands for, well, it used to stand for, I guess, poets, essayists, and novelists. And now it means poets, playwrights, editors, essayists, and novelists. So it's nice to feel included is what I'll say as an editor. But they are an institution at the forefront of fighting book bans and additionally fighting illiteracy, childhood and adult illiteracy. Side note, hey, it's kind of crazy if your country is dealing with either the issue of like a ton of book banning or the issue of a ton of illiteracy. And it's kind of crazy when your country has both an issue with banning too many books and also not enough people being able to read. And I'll leave it there because if I go any further down that rabbit hole, I think my head might explode. I think it might just do that. So all of this is to say, right, that PEN America is fighting an incredible battle on two fronts. Get these books that are being censored for ridiculous reasons that have to do with hatred more than they have to do with anyone's safety, including children. And then they're also fighting on the other end, trying to teach people, adults, people in your midst, how to read, because it hasn't happened in our schools reliably enough. Briefly to talk about the 444 book list. Just looking at page one, I am horrified by the titles that this person is asking to have removed from, as I discussed, from the school district. Just looking in alphabetical order, a book that I've read called A Child Called It. The title, I'm going to say it one more time for clarity. The book is called A Child Called It. It is a dark book. It is a book that deals with profound abuse of a child, but it is a nonfiction book. It is written by the now adult who was once the abused child. And I'll say this, I read it in middle school. It did probably give me nightmares a little bit, but it also gave me the language to discuss things that were happening in my life. That without that gentleman's example of his book that he wrote, and wrote, I want to say, with child-appropriate language, it is not gratuitous, it is not gory in the sense of needless over depictions of violence. If you want to talk about, we don't want certain books in certain younger kids' libraries because they may contain discussion of images that are disturbing. I get that. But I read it in middle school and this is on the middle school ban list. And I get it. I'm pretty kooky. So maybe it's reading that one book that did it. But I'll tell you what, banning it isn't going to save your kid from turning out like me either. All right. The horrifying thing you have to dabble in for that to happen is funding the arts and loving your kids. But other topics from this list, I mean, this is, there's a book banned on this list called A Good Kind of Trouble. I mean, are we just going off titles? Another book, I'm still under the A's, all the light we cannot see is on this list to be banned. And if your knee-jerk response is, actually, that book title sounds familiar. Why does that book title sound familiar? Oh, it's because, first of all, it's a book about the Holocaust. It's about World War II and Nazi Germany, about defying fascists. So let's get that out of our kids' hands real quick, right? And it's also a book which was just adapted into a mini-series by National Geographic. Not just any mini-series. It's nominated for the Golden Globe. So it's on, I mean, and by the way, if you don't know, National Geographic owned by Disney. So this is on Disney Plus. When the students of these libraries go home and put on Doc McStuffins for their younger sibling or sit down to watch some Star Wars with whomever, here it is, the movie version of this book that's so terrifying. We have to get it out. It's so dark. It's horrible. We have to get it out of the hands of our children. It's on Disney. And that's not to give Disney a pass on everything they ever made. Disney's made some scary films. But that's not this, so let's stop acting like it was. Again, you're going to ban a book about the Holocaust. Similar topic, other end of the ocean, a book called Baseball Saved Us. I had to Google this one. This is a picture book about Japanese internment, the internment of Japanese folks during World War II on U.S. soil. Does it get any clearer? I mean, really, is the concern that the kids will read it and they'll build themselves their own internment camp? No. Is it because there's blueprints in there on how to build something of that sort? We don't want the kids to have that knowledge? No. We don't want the kids to know that their country did something really cruel to people like the friends they might have who are Japanese. More on more of these books. Still call in, still text in, 844-967-2789. Back in a minute. I'm a little preoccupied. Somebody just told me the stream's not working. I always appreciate, of course, being told. And if it's still not, continue to let me know. And if it's still not working, you wouldn't hear me right now, would you? So if you can hear me, you're always welcome to call in, text in. If for nothing else, for proof of life, proof of hearing me out there. That number, of course, is 844-967-2789. And that time, I really did do it from memory. If you're just joining us, yes, this is the Maggie Dawn Show. Don't change the dial. Don't update anything. You're correct. That you should be hearing Maggie Dawn right now, and yet you're hearing me. And who am I? I'm Anya. I'm her producer. And when Maggie's out of town, I step in. And today I'm stepping in to talk about book bans, banning books, things across Wisconsin and across the nation. And we were discussing specifically, excuse me for that loud noise, we were discussing specifically PEN America, a group that is fighting both book bans and also fighting the somehow growing problem of illiteracy. I'm going to say it again. When you have both, I mean, it's like when you watch, if you've ever watched Kitchen Nightmares or a show with Gordon Ramsay, and he gets food from someone and it is somehow both still frozen and burnt, or raw in the middle and burnt. I guess frozen, it would be raw, wouldn't it? It's kind of like that when you have both illiteracy and you're trying to get rid of books. I mean, there's nowhere to pull from at that point, my friends. PEN America has the most up-to-date, most complete statistics regarding book bans. And as of their most complete set of facts, in the time starting July 1st of 2022, so July 1, 22, and ending June 31st of this year, 23, there were 3,362 instances of book bans in U.S. public schools and their libraries. 3,362 individual instances where someone tried or asked, really, demanded that one or more books be removed from a public school. The idea that there's that many new books in a year that we need to discuss is insane. And that's the thing, is these are not books coming out in 2023. We are somehow, in fact, rehashing books that have been around forever. This is from the list of 444 books that just some guy demanded Elkhorn get rid of. And I'm so absolutely confused by this edition. And it's what tells me, one of the texters, a texter of ours wrote in, the list is widely spread by the right-wing group Moms for Liberty, which doesn't surprise me. I've heard of such things happening. I can't confirm that, but texter, it makes sense that this one is, it comes from them as well. Because tell me why Anna Karenina is on this banned book list. And I get it, it's like, well, they cheats and there's infidelity. And I have so much news for you about what's in the Bible if you haven't checked that one out recently. But I mean, are we really combating, oh, we're just tearing Russian literature away from middle schoolers and high schoolers? Do you know, even if I caught a kid reading Crime and Punishment because he thought there'd be good punishments in it, I'd be like, yeah, keep reading. They're in there. Go look. What are we doing? How are we so overemphasizing the power of books in a community that also, like, does not seem to care about reading? Is it, at a certain point, it really is just the books that are interesting. But it's also not that, because let me just read to you the things that, you know, I'm not surprised to see them. I can't sit there and laugh about. I can laugh about Anna Karenina because I can't imagine a middle schooler or high schooler picking, you know, that door stopper of a book. It's like, at that point, you know, Les Miserables should be on here too, but it's also a brick of a book. Did we not read far enough in to get to the part where the prostitutes show up? Is that why it's not here? But let's talk about the ones that are here, and for the obvious reason they're here. Again, I'm starting just at the letter A. I can't hardly get through it without seeing a million examples of what I mean. A Tree Grows in Brooklyn, a tale about a young girl, the triumphs of a young girl in the 20th century in Brooklyn. All the Light We Can't See. It's about Nazi Germany. Where is the next one that I wanted? As the Crow Flies, Before I Fall, Beloved, a powerful novel exploring the legacy of slavery, trauma, and motherhood. Blended, a middle grade novel exploring identity and race as a biracial girl navigates the challenges of a blended family life. Blended meaning you got some step siblings or maybe some foster siblings, something like that in there. Born a Crime, Stories from a South African Childhood, the memoir of Trevor Noah, Daily Show host, or maybe now he's done by this point, former Daily Show host, and son of an interracial couple out of South Africa at the height of apartheid. All right, then you tell me how exactly you're going to teach apartheid in a way that is interesting to middle schoolers and high schoolers, if not by having a comedian, a literal comedian, write it. And I am sure Mr. Noah uses not the F word or the S word, words that we all learn from book learning, right, guys? Yeah, we all found the nefarious books at the back that had the swear words in it, and that's where we picked up our use of them. Yeah, right. Because we know what the truth is. The truth is that the human stories, especially the human stories of the like Mr. Noah, Trevor Noah's background comes from, their stories and experience with apartheid will not be told. How are you going to teach it then? The quiet part is we won't. That's why we're getting rid of it. Not only will we not teach it, we absolutely demand that the students, black, white, or otherwise, be unable to learn it themselves. And I'll say it again. Is there strong language in it? I would presume. I've seen his comedy. I also just know what comedy is, unlike, I guess, most people working on these book ban lists. I understand that there's probably flippant language in it. Can I ask what other language you have to use to get such a huge topic through to a high schooler or a middle schooler, caveat, in a way that holds their attention that they'll remember any of it by the time the quiz comes around, let alone the real quiz, a life experience that requires them to think critically about the things they've read, maybe treat people of Mr. Noah's background a little bit better. Of course we can't do that. Of course we can't do that. Why would we do that? That might help someone. And where would we be? We've got some other texters coming in. Let me start at the top. Mark from the SAC. Apparently Fahrenheit 451 has been banned in some U.S. schools. I wouldn't shock me if it's on this list. I'll be honest. I don't know if I got all the way down to the Fs yet because it's such a dense list of books being removed. But yeah, a book quite literally about book banning, about censorship, about the removal of people's rights to discuss things. Oh, let's ban it. Well, yeah, because that's the whole thing, isn't it? We can't talk about why it's bad to ban books. People might think it's bad to ban books. And then what will we do if someone writes a book that we disagree with? How will we ban it if the people know book banning's bad? Well, you won't. Well, we can't have that, can we? I mean, that's what it comes back to. That's what it comes back to. This is Tom from Milwaukee writes, I find it funny that these people really think they can ban books these days. Everything is available on the internet. And Tom, you have no idea how right you are. In fact, that is going to be the lead-in to my what can you do section. We're going to come back to that. How you can use the internet. And I don't mean pirating. Don't get worried. It's okay. Don't call anybody yet. Completely legal and, in fact, taxpayer-funded ways. And I don't just mean the library. Don't get ahead of me. But that'll be my lead-in in a second here. And a follow-up text, you know, Fruits of the Forbidden Tree. I do know because I've read the Bible. And it's because I've read it, I know that if any of these books are on that banned list for sexual impropriety or the display of non-family values or language or imagery kids shouldn't be exposed to because it's dark and depressing. Let me tell you as a recovering Sunday school teacher that the Bible, and I don't just mean my chunk at the beginning, I also mean the New Testament, the Quran, the Book of Mormon, all of these things, all of these holy books, all have some dark, gross stuff in them. Can we talk the story of Lot alone? It's a Bible story that I don't even know if I could talk about on air because of the things that happen in it. And yet, not only do modern Christians walk away with that story and go, no, it's about not being gay. No, it's about not chasing down strangers in your town to have non-consensual sex with them. And it's about listening to God. And it's about don't go into a cave with your two daughters when you think the world's ended. Nothing good could happen. And yet without context, right, it's a very dark and disturbing book, the Bible. And most religious texts are. They're about war, famine, greed, murder, incest. Did I already say murder? Yeah, but it's in there a lot, so say it twice, right? And yet books like number 25 on the list here, Burned, a novel addressing issues of faith, family, and abuse in the Mormon church. You deny children who may be going through the very same things these authors went through the right to read things that were written on their behalf. You deny the authors not only the right, having written the book and put it out in such a way, the right for their work to be read by the people it was meant for, for their work to do the work that it was intended to do, which is to advocate for themselves and people like them, or to help ensure that similar things, such as abuse, don't happen again. On a fiscal level, you deny those authors the monetary value of the purchase of their books. And let's be real, when an author gets on these lists, you don't just see one of their books on this list. And that's how you know it's an ideological thing. I'll speak briefly about an author on this list, John Green, in a second. But all of this is to say that monetarily, you're cutting off that author from the purchase of the books by the library in the future and also the purchase of their books by kids who would read their books and become fans. And it's funny how we can always do the imaginary math to find damages for things when it's like a consulting firm or some sort of other stuff that doesn't really like mark everything down. But when we talk about this, the financial hardships that these proxy wars for the culture war are taking on authors, and again, the specific queer, black, brown, disabled, or female, or some combination therein, authors, you start to see why certain people don't want folks like that making book money, making money off of the sale of their book, making change through the dissemination, through the giving out of their book or the sale of it, getting the story out there. It is all about want. And what they want, those who push these ridiculous lists forward, is to starve out any evidence, any documentation of people unlike the members of their community. And if there are people in that community who resemble the books that are being banned, in enough time, after enough months and years have passed since that book was last available in that area, attitudes will change. And the exact true want of the folks who push these lists will come forward. That true want being to remove the people that those books were about. But in theory, according to the laws of our land as they stand, we can't ban people. Not like that, not anymore. But we can ban the documentation of them. And after a while, what is the difference? We'll talk about it more in a minute. I'll see you then. Welcome back.
Listen, I'm just confused with the work that he's doing, and I mean this respectfully. God is a bit of a freak. Why is he watching me getting railed on the couch, damn pure for a wedding? He's got messed up priorities.
I just had to let that bit get through. That's God is a Freak by Peach PRC, the clean version. All good for you. No worries. People have to worry about censorship. It's mostly me. I'm the one who has to worry about it. Who is me? Me is Anya, the producer of The Maggie Dawn Show, the show you're currently listening to. We're wrapping up our discussion of book bans. What can you do? I promised you I'd talk about it. I'm sure there's a lot of loose ends I didn't wrap up, but I have to do this one. Number one, if you don't already have a library card, you need to go get one. Not just because you can always have fun with a library card, but because it directly supports and directly puts your personhood for free, the first time you get one is my understanding, for free, behind supporting institutions like libraries. And not just libraries within schools where you get into this whole mumbo jumbo of the kids. It's like, yeah, we'll put them in the kids section upstairs and leave us alone, right? And if the kids want to leave the kids section, like I often did at that age, and read a book about something bigger, something that was weighing on my soul that maybe there wasn't a children's made book about yet, I could do that at the public library, right? So the first thing you can do is go get a library card. And you know what? Even if you do have one, right, let's find ways to be using it. Go in and check out a book and don't read it. But those numbers, right, now bring it back on time and don't hog it. Don't pick out something brand new. But utilize this thing. You know, we talk about the waste of taxpayer money so much. Guys, you're paying for a membership. You've been paying for it. This is like, would you not either use or cancel Netflix when you have the option to pay for it or not? Well, you don't have the option to not pay for this. There is no canceling your library subscription. So use it. I learned recently, now a lot of libraries, they've got DVDs, not just VHSs, DVDs. They've got online checkout. They've got video games. Dude, the Milwaukee one, you can check out passes to places like museums and the zoo. Okay, so put two and two together of what I've just said. You stop at the library first, and there's free tickets there for you for stuff. Okay? And they got some tools, I think, too. I've seen a bocce ball set at one I saw once. Get in there and use it. And get this, you don't even have to get up. You know how I'm always talking about the Civic Media app, the app that every phone should just come with? Another app that your phone should just come with. It's got nothing to do with Civic Media, but it's still good. Is Libby, spelt like the girl's name, L-I-B-B-Y, Libby. Okay, this is going to change your life. You're just going to take your library card, the one that you already have, and you're going to put in just basically the info that's on there, your name and your library card number. And guess what? You now have audiobooks, ebooks. In some instances, I've seen films and movies, or not, those are the same thing in a way. Movies and TV shows is what I wanted to say, on your phone from your library for free. Guys, that circumvents like four or five different subscription apps that you could pay $20, $30, $40, $50 a month for. It's already free. Your taxpayer dollars are already paying for it. So just use it. And on the specific topic of banned books, hey, get out there and buy some banned books. And once you buy them, either you can read them and pass them on. Come on, no one will really know if you thumb through it gently. Or just buy it, stuff them in some of those little lending libraries around. And if you're more rural, like how I grew up, I know that the situation becomes more difficult. And I don't necessarily have an answer for those rural things other than if you're rural and you can hear me, I ask you to think of the kids who can't hear me, who are also in rural places without access, whose libraries are the ones who these book bans have been successful for. Consider buying some of those books just to have them on hand, because having proximity to those kinds of things is just really important at a certain point. And what's also really important at a certain point is for me to stop talking and to let the brilliant, the lovely, the amazing Terry Barr speak on what is local and overlooked. Here she is. Hi, Terry.
Hi there. Great to join you, and I'm just digging your conversation.
Oh, thank you.
I think we always looked at books as a way to kind of transport ourselves as kids to all these wonderful places that we hope to see someday.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks for that terrific discussion. I know you mentioned taxpayer dollars. Well, okay, this is how it also ties into the winter solstice, which is today.
Oh, yes.
It means different things, of course, to different people. It's considered the first day of winter, longest night of the year. But now, due to a growing homeless problem, tonight is also Homeless Persons Memorial Day, a time to remember those who have died. This is being taken very seriously in the La Crosse area, where officials say the city has been getting reports of more people in their 60s with chronic health conditions living on the streets there. 48 people died in La Crosse while homeless in just this past year. So just something to keep a mind on and, check on your neighbors and check on those as we move into the winter time.
Right.
Another question for you. How about who has the most job openings right now? Well, education still tops the list. I know you've talked about being in education. Uh-huh. But a new survey from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics shows hospitality industry is still a very close and very large second. The numbers have not changed much in the last year, with most bars and restaurants still hanging those help wanted signs. You see those everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Meantime, restaurant owners in Sun Prairie, Wauwatosa, and soon in Green Bay are going to be relying on robots to fill those open jobs. The owners of these restaurants say the robots actually will help deliver the food and clean up after a meal. It's not going to replace people. It's all run by GPS, so it can still only do just a little bit of what an actual waitress or hostess does. But the Wisconsin Restaurant Association president, Christine Hillner, doesn't sound like she's too thrilled about it. She calls these robots not a one-size-fits-all.
I would have to agree.
And overlooked. Very interesting. Very weird time we live in.
I find myself saying that constantly. This is a weird time for me and subsequently everyone else. Thank you so much, Terry. Really important stories. Hey, as the temperatures get colder, and I mean this in a very direct way, folks, please be looking out at the edges of where you're driving, the places you frequent for folks who are currently living outside in the elements. And I mean this quite genuinely. If you can take folks in at this time for a minute, for an hour, for an evening, it is the difference between life and death in these climbs. Talking about these climbs after this, we'll be raised in Wisco over here in WAUK land and Black Covergence elsewhere. I'm not sure where those two shows go differently, but here's where I'm going. Home in about an hour. Taking you to the break.